Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick Barry, the boat rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest boating news and information. All right. So to kick off the show today, we have to reference a video. And we saw this video where exactly, Patrick?
This was done by the fine folks associated with Wavy Boats.
Mm-hmm.
And they positioned themselves at some of the finer inlets on the east coast of Florida.
The boating Olympics at Holover Inlet.
Well, right? Among others, they've got people working, creating content. And basically, at this point, you know, where they used to just film off of the jetties, now they've moved up to using drones.
Nice.
To capture these boats going in and out. And a couple of weeks ago, it's a shame that we're just now getting around to this, but man, did they capture a doozy.
Yep. What happened? Explain.
There was a yacht that was heading out of Holover Inlet, and yeah. There were pretty rough seas out there. And, you know, when you're going to go through these inlets like Boca Inlet or Holover Inlet, it can be dangerous and it can be rough. You need to secure your gear. You need to look at it. You have time. When you're in that Holover area where there's a sandbar, it's nice and smooth. You have time to get things set up before you head out into mm-hmm. the rough weather.
Right.
And they didn't do that.
Well, so how big was the yacht that we're talking about?
I put this probably at about 30 to 32 feet.
Okay. So it was a good size vessel. And the seas?
Not really.
Well, but it depends.
Compared to Surprise, it was bigger.
Well, what kind of waves did they have at Holover Inlet that day? From what you tell from the video?
It wasn't too awful bad, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't anything to do, like, the guy wasn't running his boat poorly. You know, he was at speed, handling the water pretty well. But here's things that stick out. There ought to be a law that as soon as you leave the dock, unless you are moving very quickly to another dock or you're going to moor up against another boat, you have to stow your fenders. If I'm out on the water and I see somebody running their boat and it's one of those boaters that their fenders are still hanging over the side of the boat, mm-hmm. banging, rubbing back and forth, you know what I do with that person? I give them a wide, wide berth.
Well, that's their bumpers for their bumper boat technique.
No, that's just lazy. It's just lazy. Not only that, take some pride in your bumpers, okay? All one color would be preferable. You know, pick a color. Not, I got white ones, blue ones, black ones, and a red one.
That's because they found them floating in the water. They
right.
didn't even buy them. They just said, hey, look, a free fender.
Just absolutely just terrible. I mean, aesthetically, it's horrible.
So for Captain Patrick, multicolored fenders are a fashion faux pas in the world of boating.
Unless you're one of these that you actually use them to, the red ones are for the bow, the blue ones are for the mid, and the black ones are for aft. If you're color coding that way, because I've done that with dock lines where really? I've run color tape over the ends of the dock lines so that when I'm out on the boat, okay, the ones with the red tape on the ends are for the bow. The ones with the blue tape on the ends are for the stern. That way, when they all get coiled up and they get stowed away, which dock lines are for which, okay, especially if I'm going back into the home berth or the home slip, that those dock lines are already set up for that particular slip.
Now, I never heard of that before. Where is that something in the seamanship book that I've never seen, or is that something you came up with?
I wish I could take credit for it. And seeing as how in this current climate of people just wanting to promote their brand. Yes, I came up with it, Barry.
Okay,
the color tape coding for dock lines mm-hmm. is so. I wish I had patented it, trademarked it, but I didn't. I think it's probably been being used for, I don't know, 100 years ever since they invented tape.
Okay, so somewhere along the way, someone said, if we color code them, we'll know which are the bow and which are.
Well, doesn't that make sense to you? I mean, well, especially if you're in a slip that your home slip. Like if I was Mike, and I'm always in that slip at Lake Monroe, mm-hmm. and I'm going, and my bow lines, I always want my bow lines are a certain length. My midship lines are always a certain length. My stern are always a certain length, and so they don't get mixed up when I'm coming back in. It just makes it easier that these are for the bow, these are for the mid, and these are for the
doesn't stern. Matter what color it is. Does it have to be black or white, or can there be a fuchsia, mauve? I don't know. What's the latest spring mauve, color?
The canceled sitcom from the 70s.
Uh-huh. So, well, yeah, as long as there's a system to the color coding, you're okay with it.
Yeah, your own system. There's no national standard or international standard, as far as I know. It was just something I was bringing up. So, with the bumpers, if you're doing it, and you know, this is something that you're going to do, and you're going to have multicolored ones, at least have it make some reason. The other two things that quickly point out on this guy as he's making his exit from the port. One, did not secure his anchor with a snubber. Okay. No. So as he's through, yep, the anchor comes loose. Then it is banging against the bow of the boat.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now, for everybody listening, of course, I know what a snubber is, but could you explain what snubber is when it comes to anchor for the rest of the class there, Captain Patrick?
Snubbing is something that we frequently employ on this show whenever you talk.
Right. Understood that part, but I don't think that's the right application that you're talking about snubber with an anchor.
Where you've got, it's basically a metal, call it a non-destructive metal hook, usually secured with another dock line that you would secure to your cleat up on your anchor area, so that when your anchor is fully retracted, you would then take the snubber and hook it to either the chain or part of the anchor and then draw that tight up against that cleat. So it's just another added extra protection. Some boats will have little wire leads with a little locking hasp or carabiner on there. Mm-hmm. Others will have more advanced, where it's an actual where you draw the chain through and then you drop the pin through it to hold it in place, just in case something like this, where this guy's coming out through the inlet. And of course, it comes loose. It's banging. It's banging. It's banging. And then he comes across one particularly large swell, and it just snaps loose.
Well, the anchor started dropping. If you watch the video, first he waved. We'll just say he waved at the wavy boat's little what do you call it? Drone there, not in a nice way. And
you're number one.
You're number one. And then you just see the anchor slowly dropping. And as soon as it hit the water and started getting drag, I thought maybe it got, you know, caught up on the ground there. But it just, that line just parted and disappeared.
Yeah. So when it comes to snub or not to snub, the answer is to snub.
Well, snub, and that brings me to a point about anchor and anchor chain, anchor road. Do yourselves a favor. If you're using a anchor windlass, go with the all chain road. For the love of Pete, go with the all chain road. Save your, listen, if that chain breaks, you've got a much bigger problem than the chain, because something really bad happened that caused that chain to break. But when we use a chain rope road or an all rope road, one, rope gets frayed over multiple passes through the windlass. Also, when it coils and stows down in the anchor hold, if you are an infrequent boater or someone who infrequently uses their anchor, that rope will, one, gets moldy, gets mildewed, and will retain a memory, so that when you go to deploy it, it's stiff, it's hard,
right?
And it does not work its way through the windlass very well and can cause some issues.
Yeah. Chain, Barry, when it comes to chain versus rope, what do you prefer, chains or ropes?
For you, I prefer rope.
Okay. Well, that's just moldy and it won't last. I'll wiggle right out of it.
I don't have a windlass, so I don't.
More disturbing stories, maybe even about boating, next on The World of Boating. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw, put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
What the hell are those yard birds doing in my boat?
Pontoon, making waves and catcher is a boner. Jumping on the back, don't act like you don't want to. Party in slow motion, out here in the open, motorboat.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That is me, along with Captain Patrick and Barry the Boater. Navigating the latest boating news and information, and possibly even sharing a few tips on how you might learn from the videos that are shot there at Hallover Inlet. Amongst many other places there, thanks to the guys that it's a Wavy Boats. It's their YouTube channel. Is that where we're getting it? Yeah. I mean, it's quite entertaining. They've incorporated drones into shooting their footage now too. So we can get multiple views and angles of these
boating shots,
escapades that happen down there. It obviously is a tricky area. I don't know. What is it? The tides that constantly create a wavy problem down there, Barry, or what? That's right by you.
It's the reason for it is if you were to look on a map, it's the only inlet in that area to allow tides to come in and out. Because the next inlet's all the way up at Port Everglades, and then the other inlet, it's all the way down in Miami Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of water flowing through there. When the tide is coming out, and you have an east breeze with the waves coming in, it creates these big swells right at the inlet. If you were to take your depth sounder and you can map out the bottom, you would see that it kind of drops off and makes this loop of water just constantly churning there. So you have to kind of watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
on a calm day.
Yeah. when you see whitecaps out, I've turned around. I said, I'm going to take the ocean back, and I've looked out there and I see those white caps. I say, nope, I'm not beating my boat to death.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you may think that they're solid, but enough times of pounding like that, things start to come loose.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this guy with this 30 plus footer got out there.
He didn't handle it. Yeah. He didn't stow away his stuff before he left. and
fenders exposed, and
fenders are hanging over. Yeah,
anchor unsecured, and probably one of the. I don't think Barry, you picked up on this, but it's one of those things that I see often, and whenever I've done deliveries with boats that have this feature, I've always instructed that this needs to be closed, and that's the center walk-through windshield.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's a bow rider or a cabin cruiser like this, or even some of the newer boats with the sliding glass door enclosures across the back, where you know customers want to run with those doors open, it's like, listen, do your one. God forbid the worst happens, and you know you take a rogue wave or you hit debris or another boat and you go flying. In the case of you know the rear enclosure door being open, you know. You or your passengers, there's a very real possibility that you go off the back of the boat, right out of the cockpit, off the back of the boat, and that boat's going to keep going, because I guarantee you, you're not wearing your safety lanyard.
No, you're not.
The other thing with these center walk-through windshield doors like that is as you are going through the water like that, there's a reason why the manufacturers of those windshields put a sticker on there that says door needs to be secured shut while the boat's underway. Is when you're going through weather like that, when you're going through water like that, the very real possibility that that door, whether you've got a snap strap holding it or it's a magnet, whatever it is, it breaks loose, it starts to slam, it shatters that glass, or you hit something so hard that that door comes all the way around and slams shut and shatters. And now you've got people covered with glass, possibly people injured. And if you've got an older boat, good luck getting a replacement windshield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other thing is they don't secure their people. Yeah. If you watch wavy boats enough, you're going to see people riding on the deck of these large boats here.
Yeah, and,
This one they weren't, but on the other ones they do, and these people are not secured, are these really large bow riders.
Well, that makes for a great video, especially when they run it back in slow-mo and you watch them go airborne.
One of the worst ones was a while back. I want to say it was a very large, I know it was a center console. And again, entering, exiting these inlets like this and with this rough water, get everybody to the aft part of the cockpit and have them stay seated until it's such time as you feel it's safe for them to get up and change positions. But they had people up in the bow and they were taking such heavy action. The young lady on the starboard bow flew out of the boat.
Mm. Yes, I remember.
Got ejected. And thankfully, is one of these good jet skiers that was out there that's actually rescued several people out in that area, saw her, was able to swing around and get her. And the funny thing was, as fast as she was getting pulled out, where you talk about how fast that water moves, Barry, mm-hmm. she was moving as fast as a boat. And the only thing is, as she's trying to keep her head up above water, is her right arm is sticking up, and what's she doing? Holding her cell phone. Got to save the cell phone.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
She's flailing. She's getting ready to drown. On YouTube.
Yeah. Well, exactly. She's filming. You know, she wants to document her death. She lived, and so we can laugh at it hysterically.
And where your life preserve is, if it's rough out there, put the preservers on. Yeah, it may look a little dorky if they're not the inflatable type, but if you put them on, you may save a life.
Yeah.
And it may really be your own. But don't be a lazy boater. Have a product when you leave the dock. You know, instruct, especially if you've got friends on board and if they've boated with you before. You know, Joe, I need you to get the fenders on board and put them here. Bob, I need you to get the dock lines. This way we enter out into the channel. By that time, everything's stowed. Now I need everybody to stay seated in the back. You know, from the point we get to the bridge, here's where I need everybody. Once I tell you, once we're safely out of the inlet or back into the inlet, I'll let you know. Then you can get up and move around. Otherwise, I need everybody to stay seated because, again, this is my responsibility. The boat's my responsibility.
You're the captain.
You, as the people on my boat, are my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And if you don't listen to me, that's going to be the last time you're probably going on my boat. Which brings me to the next thing I want to talk about, Greg, because we're talking about real world yacht problems now.
Yeah.
What action does it take? And Greg, you should be a great resource for this because I know this has happened to you. Hmm. What actions have you done in the past in all your worldly travels, which you're getting ready to go?
To the Galapagos. I'm going to the Galapagos.
What have you done in the past, aside from swinging from a rope from a mast out in the Caribbean?
Yeah,
done that. That has got you banned.
Well, I didn't get
from
banned.
A boat.
They invited me to do that. They asked me.
Have you ever been banned because of your actions? Something you've done on board.
Well, when I swung off the rope off the boat, they asked me to do that. I don't know if they wanted me to actually swing back on board, though.
Yeah, so I don't think that was their plan.
They were hoping it was going to be a one-way experience.
Somebody was cutting the rope at the top at the
but
time.
I did make it back. But I've never been banned.
Faster.
I mean, I have good boating etiquette skills, despite what I say on the World of Boating to make the vein on Captain Forehead, Captain Forehead pop. Captain Forehead, yeah. But no, I mean, there are definitely some things, some etiquette, I think, that we can discuss. And, by the way, we were talking about Hollower Inlet. There's a whole website dedicated to managing that, outlet here at, on the East Coast of Florida, sure. HolloverInlet.com. Check it out. More coming up. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Do you have a message or product you need to share with the boating world? Well, look no further than the World of Boating Radio Show. Just like you, thousands of boating enthusiasts are hearing this message. And we could be talking about you and your product or service as early as next Saturday. Remember, a terrible thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Go to worldofboating.com, send us an email, and let's get to work to make your marketing message matter.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Oh my God, Brian, this ship, it's unbelievable. It's even more magnificent than I imagined.
Wrote a note, said be back in a minute. Bought a boat and I sailed off in it. Don't think anybody's gonna miss me anyway.
I know this thing's gonna sink, but I'm having a good time.
Come on in, the water's nice. Find yourself a little slice. Grab a backpack and lines you never know until you try.
There! Jump onto that mooring rope!
When you lose yourself,
we have to get on that ship.
You find the key to paradise.
This is the World of Boating. Gregor First Mate, Captain Patrick Barry, the boater, rounding out the crew. Today, as we navigate Hollower Inlet, I think we did pretty well. Once again, HolloverInlet.com. If you're in that neck of the woods, you got a boat, you might want to check out the website. It is one of the more notorious inlets. I called it an outlet. I guess it's an outlet if you're heading out, and an inlet when you're coming in. Barry, technically?
No, it's an inlet.
It's definitely an inlet.
It's an inlet.
But if you're going out, you call it an outlet. Okay.
It's an inlet.
All right. Whatever.
Wait, a bit of history. Yeah. Back in the 80s, when there was a lot of drugs running through South Florida,
right?
That was the inlet that was used. There were
and Barry would
people.
Know.
Well, I live here. There's an apartment building on the south side of the inlet, and apparently, some of the major drug people would actually have spotters sitting on the terraces out there, watching for their boats to come in.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. There's a movie on it. So,
well, was that why it called? It's called Hollover. They were like,
no, I don't know why it's called.
Drugs
find
over?
That out later. I don't know why it was called that.
Right.
I could.
Well, you weren't talking about that movie with John Travolta, were you?
Staying Alive.
I don't think it was. No. Staying Alive.
Okay. Anyway. You know, that is something you want to avoid, or make sure you're properly trained. And you don't want to be that guy that shows up on one of the viral videos, you know, that we're talking about more often than not. But you can learn from those videos of what not to do Which kind of segues into what we want to discuss next. What would get you kicked off a boat? What's a bad etiquette? Is that it, Captain Patrick, or what?
Yeah, there was a story associated. If you've been following the news, you're aware of Sean Combs and, you know, all that stuff. And there was a story associated with him and his son. And when I say Sean Combs, otherwise known as Diddy, P. Diddy, P. whatever. But there's a story that where his younger son may have been involved with an incident on a yacht. And for this story, the reporters talked with Captain Sandy Yawn, otherwise known as Captain Forehead, from Below Deck Mediterranean from the Bravo Channel. Again, one of Greg's, I know that's on his must watch.
Well, it's boating reality TV. It's must watch
there's
TV.
There's nothing reality about it.
For the World of Boating radio show. Okay. That along with The Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette. You already heard about the Golden Bachelor. They're already getting divorced. So.
Yeah, well, Barry was the one who texted me, "Did you see this? Oh, my God."
I thought it was hilarious. You love watching that show, well, and it already failed.
Yeah, Barry's the one who tracks it for us, but... Anyway, I digress. So Below Deck, TV show for boating. What did they have to say about P. Diddy's boating issues?
Well, not necessarily him in particular, because Captain Sandy on, you know, no firsthand knowledge, but did say that they do have a lot of guests that have chartered yachts that are blacklisted. So they are these charter operations, these yacht brokers. And the captains and crews, they do talk amongst themselves, and there are apparently a lot of celebrities that they will not charter to. And unfortunately, Captain Sandy on, when asked exactly who's been banned, she won't say, citing her contacts confidentiality or her contracts confidentiality language. But Yawn adds that yacht owners, often billionaires, also talk to each other. So when famous guests misbehave, it's over. They trash the boat. They're rude to the crew. So it's hard for them to charter a boat in the future. So just a word to those of you who might be of a certain financial means or celebrity status to where you were invited on one of these yachts or you're able to charter one of these yachts for a ridiculous amount of money. Be on your best behavior. And if you're inviting guests, be on your best behavior. Treat the crew as you would your family, because these are the people that literally you have placed your life in her hands. And the last thing you want to do is make them mad.
Yeah. Well, that's just common decency. Is the problem that some of these guests are getting on and treating the crew like they're servants or something? Is that what they're alluding to?
No, maybe, that never happens. They've never sent them off onto the beach to go find black toilet paper. You remember that one, Greg? That was from about 18 years ago. We did that story where this yacht owner forced the one member of the crew to go. They had to have black toilet paper.
It was mob, and it wasn't me.
Okay. But... yeah, they have been known to mistreat or treat the crew like serfs, mm-hmm. you know, consider them to be hired servants at their beck and call.
Yeah.
And to do their bidding. And that's right. Not what they're there for. They're there to make sure that, first of all, you have a safe and enjoyable experience. And then they will certainly do whatever they can within their means and under the terms of the contract to cater, because it is an experience that you are chartering to make sure that you have the best time possible. But as such, again, you should treat them as you would any member of your family. And that's any member of your family, not any member of Greg's family, because we all know how that works out.
Right.
Barry and I are a prime example.
But that, you know, that's kind of what Below Deck is all about. It's from the crew's perspective, and they welcome new guests on the boat every week. And you see the behind the scenes of what it takes to run the ship and keep the guests happy. And then there's a lot of drama every once in a while where they have a difficult passenger on board that's hard to please. And they're constantly trying to, you know, keep their wits about them without going off and like, hey, let's just make her walk the plank already. This is you know, that's kind of what the show is every
week. That happens in the hotel industry. That happens, I mean, in any type of service industry, you're gonna have that. Mm-hmm. Even from a restaurant end, you're gonna have that particular, you know, difficult diner that wants, well, I want all my food separated,
yeah,
and the beef Wellington must be at this particular temperature, and the plate must be placed at a 90-degree angle. My fork must be perpendicular to the azimuth of the setting of the sun would occur in 1240 BC.
I'm allergic to seeing pine nuts. If I see a pine nut, I will break out in hives.
I swear that's what it's like when I sit down and have something to eat with Greggy
at
the restaurant. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, his vanilla frappuccino is not quite the right temperature.
I am not a complainer. You are spreading rumor and innuento right now.
I beg the difference. Four studios ago.
Yeah.
Used to send out for those. So you're absolutely right. I forgot all about the whole frappuccino thing.
Yeah.
He would send either I or Bill back if it was not to his exact specification.
Right.
Off you out.
That was just a training exercise. That was just me trying to keep you guys in line. And I was trying to make sure you take orders and you execute to the T. That was trying to build your character.
The cup to me, you will.
It didn't work, obviously.
You will not face me. You will hand it to me from behind your back. The cup must be with the Starbucks logo facing inward, so I don't see where it came from.
You know, I do have a client that is a yacht captain, and I'll have to ask him some of those questions. He's been doing that on sailing yachts.
How he likes his frappuccino?
No. On large sailing yachts owned by one person, and I guess they rent it out during part of the year.
Yeah.
But I'll ask him what, you know, if he's ever had any good stories about that I could bring back.
And of course, he tells you them all. We can't share any of them because it'd probably put him in jail. That's usually how it works. All right. More coming up on the World of Boating. Stay close.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network. Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the one.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I appreciate this, but I'd really like to get some sleep.
Oh, of course, my sweet. I'll just make some soothing ocean sounds for you.
This is the World of Boating. Gregor First Mate, Captain Patrick Barry, the boater. We pretty much are doing a weekly shakedown cruise as we navigate the latest boating news and information. Just how we roll after 20 years, still floating, as far as we know. But we probably sprang a leak or two over the years, but we still managed to plug along. So that's what we're doing. Now, you know, we're talking about what you could do possibly to get kicked off the boat for bad boating etiquette. Just be polite, obviously. That's common sense.
Here's a key one.
Yeah,
if you're getting on somebody's boat for the first time,
mm-hmm,
whether it's a small boat, big boat, I think if it's a canoe, it probably really doesn't matter. But still, if you're getting on somebody's vessel for the first time, ask them, shoes on, shoes off.
Ah, okay. Makes sense.
Nothing. It's like entering someone's home. You know, and you want to abide by their particular thing. Some people, they really don't care. Others are like, oh, please remove your shoes. You know, I have a special little cubby hole over here that you can store them in.
Right.
Do not, you know, so be aware. And also, if you're a person that smokes, probably refrain from smoking on someone's boat, especially even while it's underway, because cigarette ash tends to fly in unexpected directions and can wind up, you know, marring or burning someone's upstreet.
And if you smoke weed, you better not do it, because that'll get the boat confiscated if you end up drifting out into international waters, potentially.
Okay.
I just know this from the tugboats that I've been on.
Oh, okay.
They're very clear about do not bring any contraband on board like that.
All right. Yeah. Figures the one comment he's got is about marijuana.
Well, I'm just saying. It's never been an issue for me.
Don't do this, guys. Not that I would know, but our first-hand experience.
Yeah. What about this as far as, like, if you're going on a boat for the first time, Patrick, isn't it polite to say, hey, look, you know, I don't have much experience. Is there anything I can do to help? You know, to offer your services, as opposed to just, like, sitting back and let them cater to you.
No, because I'm just going to stare at you viciously.
Well, no, here's the answer.
Until you run away in fear.
Well, if they say, no, we got it covered, you just sit back, relax, then I feel comfortable. If they go, yeah, could you do this, that, and the other thing, then I'm like, well, I don't know. I better get off the boat. This guy don't know what he's doing.
Well, actually, I think you should always show up to someone's boat with a bunch of bananas. tuna casserole that needs to be heated up in their microwave. Gross. Let's see what else.
Oh, that's disgusting. Might as well toss that microwave in the garbage.
Make sure that you've held on to any bowel movements until you're on your vessel, and then ask to use the head.
Well, make a deposit. Do your sewage tank.
Make sure you ask them how full their holding tank is, because you are going to fill it up.
Oh, wow.
Top it off.
Interesting. Interesting little tidbits of what not to do.
You actually bring up a really good point, Greg. And that is, you know, if you are getting on someone's boat for the first time, and if you don't have a lot of experience, certainly some boat owners, some boat captains may be a little bit hesitant to give direction. So it certainly doesn't hurt to ask, you know, is there anything in particular you need me to do? Or is there any particular place you need me to sit? You know, please let me know, because this is my first, second, third, in Greg's case, my 500th time being on a boat. Mm-hmm. And I still don't know bow from a stern. So please instruct me as to what you need me to do. Which side of the boat would you prefer that I barf from is usually Greg's first question.
Right.
Leeward side.
Mm-hmm. Correct, sir. But I've been on a boat a time or two, so I already know.
Yeah.
There we go.
So many boats, and yet comes back with so little knowledge of the boat itself.
I don't know.
Greg, how big was the boat? I don't know. It was, you know, kind of big.
It was a big ass boat.
I was driving in the go karts. I was at the mini bar. I don't know.
Yeah. What was it powered with? I don't know. It went
engines.
The water.
Hello. Golly. Morons.
Kind of wrapping up with real world billionaire yacht problems, Greg. This is something that we've been talking a lot about over the past several shows. And I didn't know if you were aware of this, but there is. I wish I had that sad music from the abandoned dog infomercial playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a real problem affecting billionaire yacht owners around the world, Greg.
Yeah.
And it's one that we all need to donate to their cause. And that is the lack of affordable boat dockage and the lack of boat dockage as a whole for these super yachts. I didn't know if you were aware of how much it costs just to lease a dock slip. You know, average lease, probably I think the standard is like a 10-year lease is what you're looking at. So for this article, this is the guy's real name. I swear to God, Splinter Fangman.
Wow. From Transylvania.
I wish that name hadn't
been taken, because I would change my name to that in a heartbeat.
Right.
Because I would love to be Captain Splinter Fangman. Hmm. That would be awesome.
Okay.
But, you know, when we talk about docking super yachts, you know, we're talking about, you know, like the south of France, you know, Ibiza, all these places. There's one area that's known as the Quai du Milliardaires, or the Billionaire's Quay.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these slips in the Mediterranean are going for $13 million for a 10-year lease.
Wow, that seems a little higher than $10 a foot down in the Keys.
Well, it's only about a little over $1 million a year. Right?
Oh, sounds like a bargain when you say it like that.
Only.
It's $13 million for 10 years, right?
Okay.
Yeah, it's not $13 million
for 10 years.
For something you don't even get to own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now this slip that I referenced, which is in this K, slip A13, which is really a great, great slip when you look at the overhead, is suitable for a 110-meter yacht.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes for $13 million for a 10-year lease. The other slip there, which accommodates a mere 85-meter yacht, is available for $8.4 million on those same terms.
Does that include a pump out and water?
No, that's all extra. Yeah, I'm sure you're paying extra for that. Here's my thing. If I've got a super yacht, okay, and let's say it's a 110-meter yacht, the last thing I'm worried about, dude, times three.
Yeah. I was doing the math there.
You're the CPA. How do you not know that?
Oh, well, don't go there.
Really on your fingers.
Just slightly. Don't go there.
It's my old calculator.
Anyway, if I've got a super yacht, if I've got a 330-foot yacht, the last thing I'm worried about is dockage. You know why? Because I've got a 330-foot yacht I can moor and take my tender into shore to go get my stuff. I don't need the docking.
Right.
No, you really don't.
Yeah. And he is a billionaire, so he really doesn't care as much. Well, maybe that's why he got to be a billionaire. He did care
right.
about mm-hmm. how much the dockage was. Well, you know, we'll start a campaign to help the billionaires. But we're out of time, so we'll have to wait till next week to do that. Till then, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.